up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.6. Yep, there it is. Where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
221 days.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 8. Harry arrives at the precinct and finds a not-incarcerated Molly who fesses up that her boyfriend Nelson is the one in trouble.
So we get a little, what is it, commentary on the socioeconomic...
There have been improvements to Cabrini Green.
It's kind of
funny. Much like
me,
in real life.
Every time Jim Butcher does this, I'm always like, what's the context here? Like, why does he always feel the need for that? To lay the groundwork of just Chicago, 2005.
I think it is a little bit of context. Because, you know, he did say like, oh, she gave me an address not far from my apartment. So you're like, okay, this is kind of the area he's living in. I don't know. I don't mind. It's definitely better than some. Because like I said, I was reading about it the other day and it was like so much. It was like, you know, this times like 45 and then had absolutely nothing to do with the point of the story. It's like you're doing way too much crap that's...
Well, he's but sort of blending real life stuff.
Yeah,
well,
I do get like, but yeah. I'm like, I think it gives a little bit to like where he's going to pick this. They're not in like a really sketchy, but they're not in a really great. He's like, they're kind of in a...
But it's like, I could almost see if there was a point in, oh, you can see how the world's, you know, economic is like also influencing the supernatural right now, and everyone's getting desperate, and that's why attacks are happening more often, and that's why things. But it's like it kind of almost never even gets to that point. So I'm sometimes like, okay, yeah, like every single book we get a little bit of like, I mean, maybe it's just Harry's dedication to his own city, and like he really cares about Chicago, and he's knowledgeable, and this is his city, and it's important that Chicago is his city. It's not just the place where Harry lives.
Yeah,
but I wonder sometimes because like, almost every single book, we get this a little bit of like a rundown of just Chicago in and of itself. Forget the supernatural. This is just, here's some facts about Chicago right now. Like,
I am an author. I research. Stuff about.
I wrote down all these notes. I'm going to use them, damn it.
This is Wacker Street.
This does sort of put it in context to me that he is following at least a little bit of real life
that
scenarios.
Sort of,
because
it
like,
sort of gives
it is,
the context.
There's some gentrification going on in Cabrini Green. Mm-hmm. That it's still kind of shitty,
yeah.
And but it's improving,
so it's
which
not
is
like
in the time frame is accurate.
Chicago,
I get no. Like,
that's where it is.
I get that. That's what I mean, though. Is like it's just sort of to me seems like you know that panning of a TV show where they do the droid footage is like it's almost not relevant, but you got to get those B shots of like
yeah. Just in case you forgot, our show takes place in New York.
Yeah.
He does, because he does then go into a little description about, like, the police station and stuff like that, so it's, like, it's kind of, but you're right, overall, this doesn't have, like, a massive bearing on, it's not integral to, like, what happens next or anything like that, kind of.
I get maybe it's just good writing to not just say, I went to the precinct, but.
yeah, I think it is more just a little bit of word painting right there, just to, like, set the scene.
Narrative painting sounds better than word painting.
Yeah, that's why I should cut
if I had to choose.
But yeah, he didn't go to a totally dive part, but he didn't go to a total swanky part.
And he's not at Murphy's precinct, because this is the 18th precinct, so yeah, he's got to sort of develop a new location, and yeah, his kind of go-to, actually, right now,
we're not by Box. Green. I'm probably not going to get jumped.
I was going to say, it's been, this like, makes a lot of mention. Four out of eight books now, like, Cabrini Green, Cabrini Green. Me just, like, saying it.
It's like his favorite movie.
It's like indubitably or something like that.
Or maybe that's it. How many times can I reference the Candyman? What is it, 13?
Four.
Well, that's it?
Is this like the Superman in Seinfeld or the pineapple?
That's gotta be right.
So maybe it's five.
It's like a drastic number.
No. I think it's like...
How many times
it's
do you
either
say
four or five for Candyman.
Shay, we need you on this episode.
Because it's not like Beetlejuice, which is three.
Yeah, I have no idea how many... I've never watched Candyman.
Apparently five.
Honestly, when you say Candyman, even though I know it's a horror movie, the one thing that usually jumps into my mind first is like John Candy. And then I have to, like, flip to... I don't know why.
The man that played Candyman has actually passed on.
Oh, did you guys hear, like, Loretta Swit passed away yesterday, Friday?
Who? Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear who you said.
Loretta Swit. Hot Lips Houlihan.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, she was 87 or something like that. But I was like, oh, I'm like, she was an icon in her own right, in her day, in her time, in her... She was, yeah...
When he gets out of the cab, he realizes he's still being stalked, but this time it's a different car.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A white sedan. And a shadowy figure.
The shadiest of all sedans.
And I like that, again, he has served as the dog and that mouse has better people skills than he does.
I appreciate that. Like, making friends.
The cabbie is kind of like, this guy is weird, and mouse is like, it's all right, he's with me. And he's like, okay. But also that he's being followed.
Mouse goes out every night to network.
Now, that's the beauty of Moses. He, like, doesn't even have to. He's just one of those people you instantly love when he walks in the room. And then you find out later that he's just an asshole.
And then there's Mister who just goes out and judges everybody.
Yeah. That's what Mouse's networking campaign is for, really. I'm sorry about him. I'm sorry about him.
I'm sorry about Harry. I'm sorry about Mister. Let me. You got to have some contact. Yeah. They both have really tragic backstories.
I'm sorry about the vampire and all your missing teenage daughters. So Molly meets him inside, which is weird.
Well, she's at the door. Aren't they still stepping
outside?
Well,
yeah, just at the door, though.
Yeah, she steps out before he can... And
who has gotten all grown up.
All grown up. But it's kind of funny, because I have to admit, I was just all excited about, like, seeing Molly and, like, listening to his, like, all the stuff he went over. Because, like, all excited about him meeting Molly again. And, like, I guess I just kind of got drawn into his, like, talking about all the upgrades and whatever, because... I can remember this the first time I read it. So you get through all of this, right? We've got a 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. And then he's like, and then I noticed, like, you don't seem to be in jail. I was like, oh, yeah, she came out. Yeah. It's so funny. I was like, you know what? I remember that the first time I read it, that my brain didn't even really, like, it just, the scene was all normal to me at first until he comes back again. I was like, oh, yeah, wait, he was supposed to be bailing her out. She wouldn't be meeting him at the door, like, stepping outside.
You liar.
My guy's here. I'll be right back, okay? I'm just going to go tell him what's going on. Yeah, right? I was like, and I totally didn't get listening to it. I was like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I love that. Yeah. So I can't help but notice that you seem to be very much not in jail.
Well, it sort of kind of updates us on what she looks like right now.
A good distraction for both Harry and the reader, apparently, as you can see.
As you can see. And again, it's this, like, it's awesome. You love how he's going down all of it. And he's like, she's got the colored hair.
She's an 80s-inspired goth punk Valkyrie.
Right? And then Harry being Harry, Butcher being Butcher. You get all the way to the end, and then it kind of goes, ugh, again.
Her nipples?
Yeah.
What about her nipples? Oh, there it is.
Right?
Here's this time. We haven't had that before.
Yep. There it is.
And even that, you can kind of go, okay, like, again, she was 14 the last time. There is a fairly significant jump for most of us between, I get all that. Then on top of it, not just the natural growing up, but all these changes. And, like, you can even sort of be like, okay, probably would notice the pierced nipples poking out between...
I mean, if it's designed to make us uncomfortable, yes, it worked.
Yeah. Well, but then again, it's like, even that part, you're kind of like, but I'm like, okay, yeah, he might notice the boot. And then he's like, and I totally wasn't thinking bad thoughts. I know I wasn't thinking bad thoughts because I told myself. And you're like, oh, see that?
Exactly.
I was like,
too far.
I could have forgiven you noticing the pierced nipples because that is fair that it would, especially on, like you say, somebody who was a quote unquote little girl, somebody who you thought more of as a child the last time. I'm like, all right, but no. Now you're just like, okay, now you sound like a creepy old man instead of defending yourself against being a creepy old man.
Yeah, no.
I want to kind of want to go over some of her look a little bit. Like, she kind of is a little bit of a Harley Quinn sort of homage with the pink and blue hair, like being, especially being a blonde. So that's one thing that I could kind of see there.
Not that I mind it being, because I'm sure it's a popular, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I have nothing against these colors, and I've seen two people. But I just feel like a bunch of times in books I've come across over the last little while, and I may be, you know, exaggerating it in my recall or something, I feel like there's always a lot of this cotton candy hair. I feel like so often it's this pink and blue. And it's not just like, sometimes it's one or the other, but very often, I can't recall now the other specific instances, what other kinds of books or things I've come across. I just feel like when they want to be like, oh, somebody died there, it's never just like, it's always like, it was like half pink and half blue, or the cotton candy.
Yeah,
or
but this is Butcher. He's always got some sort of like hidden pop culture reference in something. So this is why I think Harley Quinn versus sort of generic punk look.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was something that popped out to me that I feel like I've noticed a lot lately, that is the combination used, that this cotton candy hair a lot is if somebody is this little bit quirky, funky, tattooy, piercy type of person, they always have like cotton candy hair is what it is. I'm like, why? I'm like, am I just... Like, again, is it like when somebody points something out to you and then all of a sudden you see it? Well, it's not actually that much more prevalent. You're just taking more notice of it. Or, so that's what I mean, is like, I don't know if I'm just in my recollection, like exaggerating it more than it is. I just feel like this is a lot. Which, again, I was like, nothing against it per se. I was like, I would love those hair colors and I have no problem with anybody that wants to do those hair colors. And if it worked on me better and I was blonde, I might do. But it's just funny. I just feel like this. The bubblegum pink and the cotton candy blue and the bubblegum pink and the cotton candy blue.
Well, see, and I think, like, this description of her does, like, in a, looking from a contemporary lens, doesn't have the effectiveness that it would have when it was first published. Because I read this, and I think the only thing that I think is, like, yeah, you got away with too many tattoos for being underage.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, the piercings, like, whatever. Like, the dyed hair, the outfit, none of it, like, makes me think,
I was going to say, well, and it is funny. And
we're a little out of time now.
I was going to say, part of that could be ours. Like, so I do get it. You're right.
I mean, I would have probably looked like this at the same age as well.
And I was just going to say, see, I wouldn't have quite because...
Except I liked having red hair, so I never...
You never needed to... And I never had a problem with my brown hair. I always liked being a brunette, so I never had urge to change my... And I just knew it was one of those things that, I mean, not 100%, but like 98% sure. If I told my mom I wanted to dye my hair blue, she would be like, no. I mean, even now she looks at me funny and still goes, your hair's still blue? I'm like, yeah, because I can. And So I kind of know that I just wouldn't have been allowed to. So there's no way. So I had pierced ears, but I was like, yeah, my mom would, if I said I wanted to like pierce my belly, but you know, like she would never have. So now I do know kind of from when my own kids went through this. And when I subsequently got piercings later on, that there are different age levels. Like, at 16 is, like, the consent for, like, a nose piercing, you know? And then it's, like, 17 or 18 or 19 for this, that, right? So certain bigger ones, you know, like, the tongue and stuff like that, I think you needed to be. But, like, yeah,
and I know from experience,
eyebrows, you can be anywhere between, like, 16 to 18 and whatever, right? So, but, yeah, it's just my mom would not have. Because I know my younger sister did that. She, when she was in New Brunswick, they crossed the border into Quebec, because the age of majority was different or the piercing places or whatever. But in whatever age she was, 17 or 18, she could go there and get it done, but there wasn't anywhere nearby in like Dalhousie where she could legally, you know what I mean? So shit like that, right? So that's part of it. But also just exactly, I'm like taking, like you say, back that 20 years from now is it wasn't quite as popular. But exactly, I'm like, I go around with blue hair all the time. Jessica, I have like a tattoo. I have a few piercings. Tanzan has some tattoos and piercings, not a ton.
At that age, I would have already had a navel ring, nose ring, and...
At 17, yeah.
Hopefully my dad's not listening, a tattoo, but it was hidden. It wasn't a neck tattoo.
Yes.
It was like, I could get away with wearing like even a bathing suit and nobody would know.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, my first tattoo.
And come to think of it, I did have...
Where the hell was your first tattoo?
Hair.
What the hell?
Somewhere underneath a bathing suit.
Apparently.
But so is mine. And
we'll get to the next part of the discussion of tattoos.
I will say, she's clearly going for shock value, and I understand that whole rebel teenager. And me and Mackenzie did not grow up in a very rebellious household, clearly.
Our mom did not say no very often. We pretty much got to do whatever we wanted, and neither of us were very rebellious children. Dyeing our hair was about as crazy as we
Within
went as children.
Within some reason, guys. Not whatever. I tried.
It helped that you had two very lazy children.
Well, there's that. But same thing, right? I didn't... Yeah, I colored your guys' hair. I would put in, like, patches of the manic panic, because I was like, you guys, that sounds fun. Yeah, so exactly, right? When you guys were old enough and wanted piercings and tattoos and stuff like that. Exactly. Like, I know, because some of Kenzie's friends used to be like, your mom let you get it. And she's like, but again, Kenzie was like my, I love her dearly, but she was a little bit that straight A uptight. So when she wanted to do something wacky, like get a tongue pierced, I was like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I know.
She, like, Mackenzie, like, I know there's barely questioned, like, do you think, like, I would like a tongue piercing? And my mom kidnapped her and, like, took her to the tattoo place. And she's like, we're here, you're getting it. Like, she barely committed to it before my mom was, like, strapping her to the table and was like, put a ring through her tongue.
It was a stud. Not quite, but exactly. I was like, yes, live outside the box, do something fun, do something people won't think you.
Right, but I'm saying all this. It was you, and I distinctly remember my grandmother, not yours,
but
my paternal grandmother grew up in such a very strict household. Like, women were not allowed to wear pants.
Yeah, she was.
So my grandma had to leave the house in, like, a skirt or dress every single day.
She was mad that I bought you, like, a beer pong set.
Oh, the beer pong. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that one. But she kept a pair of red jeans in her locker at school that she would change into when she got to school, and then she had to change back out and put on her more conformed dresses to go back home and deal with her mother.
Yeah, we were.
You
not.
Say all the time, too, you grew up in such a strict household. You couldn't wear and have all these piercings and things like that, but you did your own shit because you and your brother both were smoking as young teenagers.
Yes. Like, it wasn't particularly condoned, and also.
That's what I mean, though. But Molly's doing, like, no the so extreme body, of.
And I do, and I totally. And again, like I say, there's also very much the difference between, like, that 14 and 17. So again, same thing when I see things from, like, couples, all of a sudden they're grown up and they've dyed their hair a funky color or. They dress, or you know what I mean? I'm like, it's not necessarily wrong or bad, but I can sometimes be like,
oh my
God.
You see the lack of parental influence.
You're not that, like, 8-year-old little kid anymore. Exactly. You're right. So I'm like, I do. But yeah, so it's kind of funny. I think part of it is we're all just like, this is cool. Cause I'm like, we all dye our hair and piercings and tattoos. We're like, this is normal. This is cool. Who wouldn't do that? But yeah, at the same time, you're like, for Harry, it's a little bit of a whoa, what?
Yeah, like, and I'm almost on board with this, except the degree of the tattoos that she's got.
I was gonna say, she went a little bit too crazy too quickly.
Yeah. Which is why, people, they put that age limit so that when you're young and dumb, you don't get crazy neck tattoos that you're going to regret.
Right? I'm a Slytherin. I have a family friend, and my family friend came to me and said, oh, my son wants to get a job. Can you get him a job and teach him and stuff like that? Because he's, like, afraid of, like, workforce, and he's all brand new. And I was like, no problem.
And he's how old, this kid?
At the time, he was probably 16, 17.
Okay.
Underage, but...
Yeah, but I wasn't sure, like, 14 or 16. But
yeah, anyways, 16. But so, okay, fine, get him a job. Training, my boss pairs him up with me to be trained or whatever like that, and the kid kind of got, like, an easy ease into a workforce because I knew him and his family, and I wasn't, right. like, bullying him when he fucked up or whatever like that, right? But as he got more comfortable, he started telling people, he's like, you know, like, I, like, tattoo myself, like, and, like, all these other, like, 16-year-olds we worked with were like, whoa, free tattoo, like, I'll absolutely take that.
Yeah.
And by the end of the summer, he tattooed, like, 3 or 4 or 5 of them, and they were all, like...
Shitty,
and I was just like... And he was like, he kept asking me because at that time I had, you know, my half dozen of tattoos or whatever, and I was like... No, I'm good.
I don't know.
I was just like, I'm watching all these kids, like, say yes to this, and I'm just like, you guys are dumb.
See, and that was another thing that I put in here is, like, the type of tattoos that she got, like, the tribal, at the time really was very popular.
Yeah, very,
like,
yeah.
It did seem cool, but it aged so poorly. Like, all I can think of is fraternity bro.
Yeah.
When I see a tribal tattoo, which is funny because I actually really wanted a tribal armband myself. Like, that was one thing that I did consider.
I was going to say, I do like some of them. I remember one point thinking they looked neat.
But
like,
I didn't want them to look like everybody else's.
And, but there is that, yeah. But don't actually have one of those, but yes.
But I did write down, I'm like, it's too bad she didn't put more thought in it because, like Jess has, because Jess has the coolest tattoos of, like... Like 99% of the people I've seen for
Thanks
tattoos.
Thanks so much.
They're awesome. They're beautiful tattoos. You're not just like walking into a tattoo studio doing it to like piss somebody off. Like you're actually putting some really genuine thought and it's beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate because I don't necessarily believe that every tattoo needs to have like a story or something like that. Like I'm not behind the whole like, oh, there has to be a meaning or all this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, whether or not I necessarily am into or believe in the thing I got a tattooed, I still want it to be good artwork. Right. Like...
But because of that, this strikes me as like sort of like it's it's supposed to come across as rebellious, but to me, because of the what was chosen, comes across as the sort of status quo rebellion that everybody fucking
well,
goes
I was going to say, I was like, it's totally
like,
that,
is
like,
really just,
you know, 17, I know the world, I'm never going to regret this, like, yeah, give me the Snape tattoo across, like, half my back and throat and whatever, and it's a little bit like, okay, relax.
Yeah,
so it's not that serious.
My two tattoos.
Uh-huh.
So the one... And I found out much later. I was like, I saw, it's like, it's, and mine are really like the cheesy fucking status quo rebellion fucking ones as well. It's the Chinese symbols. I have two of them. But I got them to match. One of them is the symbol for eternity. And I don't know why I picked it. I saw it and it was like, that one, that one, that one, that one. Turns out that I have a calligraphy book and it was one of the characters that I had practiced as a child for months on how to do. But I didn't make the connection until I saw the book years later and went, that's why I picked it.
That's where I got that from.
That's cool.
I've been practicing it. It's the same ones that are on that red cup there.
Yeah.
Now, the other one, I'd done my research, too, to make sure that these said what they were. And it didn't just say, like, you know, Kung Pao.
Yeah.
The other one.
Eat at Joe's.
Is supposed to mean fierce, which it does. But I found out much later with dating a Chinese person that there's actually two different dialects for Chinese symbols. One is called simplified, and one is called classical. Yes, definitely, in simplified Chinese, my symbol does mean fierce. In
classical
Chinese, it means murderer.
Oh,
she is a fierce
criminal
murderer.
It's like, oh,
and wait, what is it?
That's actually kind of funny. So I don't even mind because it's funny.
Eternal? She's the eternal murderer.
Yeah.
Or she will murder you for eternity.
Psycho killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Better watch.
Please come to Canada.
So now that I actually have some funny stories or some relatable stuff, it's not as nearly quite as bad as, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Just, and like you say, at least you can put that twist on it, right? You're like, yeah, I got this Chinese symbol.
I did look it up, and I was right, but I was also wrong.
And this is often the way things go in life, and much of what we learn as adults, which is, again, why we're like, maybe don't do these certain kinds of things until you're old enough to. So, yeah, it is definitely. But I like the way he tells this story, too, because he's like, oh, she grew up and her hair was short. And he's like, but wait, there's more. And then she had like a bunch of piercings and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but wait, there's more.
She has a very angry dentist. Do you click your tongue ring across
your...
Oh,
yeah, no. I was like, why?
Why?
Is
because it's bad for your fucking teeth.
Yes, yes, yes.
The first thing they tell you, don't do that.
Yes.
I didn't think that it would be awkward.
It is for the first little bit.
Because they'll do this.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just think the angle of it is, like, too far.
I've seen a few people do
because
it.
They put in a longer bar. Because again,
no, I understand that, but I just...
And your tongue is a little bit sore for the first will. So, yeah, I think it varies by person, but I'm thinking hers has to be really Yeah, if she's still got any kind of a lisp going on with it, this thing, like, just has happened. Because, yeah, that shouldn't be for very long swelling or sensitivity or whatever.
That's a bad habit, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, that. And I am mildly surprised. Like, again, if it's that new that it's... Unless she's got, like, a big giant ball or something on it.
It's poorly sized.
Yeah, because depending on, like you say, I've never had a particularly large one on mine. But if
Maggie
you,
doesn't have big balls.
Not there. I do on my chest, but not in my mouth.
And she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls.
As we dive all
once again, that went sideways.
Still
fast.
Learning things about each other after all this time. Things I don't need to learn.
But wait, there's more.
No, no, please keep the suspense.
But not only is it just funny in the general storytelling sense, I also get a kick out of it because me and Danzen have that story for my sister where that was literally she's like, so this thing. But wait, there's more. Oh, no. All right. Oh, but wait, that's not it. And it went up. There was like seven. But wait, that's, oh, my God. It was the funniest thing
I've
ever.
I've heard the rendition.
Yes.
It was a very funny story.
It was
like,
a very
honestly,
funny story,
like,
but that
I remember that for years because it was so funny. Like, the horror in her face as she told the story.
And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, no. But wait.
But she has a face for, like, self-inflicted horror.
She does. Yes. Right?
Like, are you sure you want to keep telling us? Like,
and I can guarantee you, like, 56 or more percent of her did not want to tell the story in front of you because you guys had just met. but like 90% of her needed to tell the story to me. So as much as she was embarrassed and horrified to be, she just that's it. She couldn't. She's like, I can't even wait for more privacy than this. This has got to come.
I think
out
I've
now.
Told other people this story that like are not related whatsoever.
Of
it was like this is the best story I've ever heard.
It's plain is though is that for Molly it is such overkill at this point.
I think Jess wants to move on.
Yes. Yes.
Again, I do have plans.
So she's wearing this badge that says Splatter, and I love for
exclamation mark! Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark!
If you listen to the audiobooks, he says them every time, and that is a. And I don't know. Like, it makes me wonder if he, like, again, is this one of the ones where maybe he'd done a bit of a read through on the book before and knew, or was there direction in this to be like emphasize? Because obviously, as a reader, you see how it is put out. But yes, in the narration, I was like, did Marsters specifically be like, I need to show this emphasis? Or was it like some part of the direction production to be like, make sure you do the emphasis on this? So, because yeah, I love it. SplatterCon, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark.
He actually says
it. Literally, that's how he says it every time. And I love it.
I kind of want to think that is an intentional choice.
It is. I'm just saying, I just don't know whose intention
it
was.
I hope it is.
I think both James Marsden or a director, because anyone who reads that, I think would have to say exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, because it's just so prevalent.
See, like, I wouldn't the first time. I mean, again, just visually as a reader, I would take it in. But yeah, as it comes up in the neck and it gets mentioned every so often, it becomes more of a thing, which is why. So yeah, that's why I love
this could
that.
Also be a good t-shirt idea.
Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. So yes, she's doing that whole don't care, really does care, insecure teenage stuff where you're just like, oh my god, will they actually think I'm super cool, like I'm trying to be, which is like cliche.
I'm
whatever.
So yeah. Cool, I don't care.
Oh, after school
I'm
special stuff right
to
now
know if you approve of everything I've Yeah, exactly.
Now, teenage insecurity is really kind of universal at some places.
Yep, and it lasts all the way to your 60s. Yes, insecurity, they name is teenage. So, hey, I happen to notice that you're not in. And she's like, yeah. Oh, look, you got a dog. When did you get a dog, Harry? What a nice dog, Harry. Can I pet your dog, Harry? Because a dog doesn't really want to get petted.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Totally forgot. Just didn't remember that at all.
Excuse me, Mouse. Have you not been reading? This is Molly. She's Michael's daughter.
Doesn't so much as bark at the mailman. But Molly
gets a growl. And again, we get the reminder that Mouse only growls at bad guys.
What? No. Mouse what? Just so growled what? At the guy in the sedan.
I thought it was...
So what happened? What? Who has been doing what to Molly? Right? Because obviously something's got to be...
She's got a little taint to her. What I think is interesting, though, is that... I don't know. I haven't read past this chapter. Don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But
what I do find interesting is that, like, Harry hasn't said anything. Not even, like, he just sort of makes a mental note, doesn't say a word.
I just know. He knows how to play the game. If I just stand here quietly, she will get more and more uncomfortable.
That's a little bit of the annoying thing to me.
I'm not
like, okay, you are a private investigator, but it is a little bit annoying to me just how cold he turns on her immediately. And it's like, I guess she lied, but, like, damn, dude, she's still a kid. And he basically... immediately starts treeting her like a hostile enemy. Like, as soon as he arrives, he's like,
he accuses her of like manipulation
like,
and everything.
Totally.
Like, he does
like
go
it's
far.
A bit too harsh. And I was like, okay, yeah, she lied, but fucking relax and hear her out. Jesus.
Do you think this might be because of his, what's going on in his life in the book so far? Like, he's just had to execute a teenager.
Yeah, I get it. He's stressed. Also, he's been in a car accident. He's mad she lied, and he's specifically trying to avoid the carpenters for a reason. But I still feel like I'm just like, I don't know.
He hasn't seen her in a couple of years, so you would think that he'd give her a little
bit of
lenience.
If I were to call one of Mom's friends that I haven't spoken to in a while but would still consider, and I'm like, closest I could come up with is Stacy or something like that, and I wouldn't expect Stacy to show up and start lecturing me if I really, like, he was the only person that I felt that I could call and get help from. And then he's like, even then I'd be like, Stacy, and Stacy was like, Stacy didn't let me go to, like, summer camp in my pajamas because it was unprofessional.
Yeah. He didn't believe that it was, it was like, oh, yeah, summer camp kind of a thing. And it was pajama day and whatever was going on I needed. And, yeah, she's like, go get dressed. And she's like, no, it's pajama day. And he's like, I don't think so. Nice try. Go get dressed. It was so funny. So she ended up putting her clothes on over her, right? Grandma had to go to school and change into her jeans because she wasn't allowed to wear a skirt. Jessica had to put her clothes on top of her pajamas so she could get to school and take off her clothes to be in her pajamas to go to
He felt so bad. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to run back to the house and get your pajamas right now. I was like, don't worry. I'm wearing them under my jeans. And he's like, I'm so sorry for not believing you. It's like, I've met myself, Stacy. I know why.
It's okay. I know who I am. I get it.
I mean, if I, like, hadn't talked to, like, one of my friend's kids and, like, that I'm still on good terms with in a couple, like, a year or two.
So you haven't talked to Jessica in, like, 3 years.
And they contact me and be like, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, I would be like, oh, fuck. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, no, like, I will help. Because, yeah. Like, why are you contacting me?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like, oh, yeah, you lied to get me down here. I'm like, okay, but you live a fucking weird life, Harry. Like, that's what I mean, though. I was like, I don't know. I just feel like you should hear her out before he's, like, so hostile right off the bat. And I get it. He doesn't have much experience with children. But, like, you're supposed, you just use Molly's picture for a ritual, like, half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And now you're like, fucking lying ass bitch. You don't look like your photo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's like, where's the little girl?
Little Chicago would have blown up the neighborhood because you fucked this up.
I was using blonde hairs, not blue. You ruined everything. You are a disappointment to your parents.
I don't think I ever looked at it that. I don't remember ever feeling like he was that hard. I do absolutely see where you're coming from and as you say it. But yeah, I don't think I took it as quite. And I think it's a little bit of exactly is that kind of like we said to her on the phone. He's like, well, call your parents. And she's like, no. And he's like, don't fucking put this on me. I'm not taking responsibility.
That one makes sense. I totally understand that. But you're not allowed to make decisions for other people's kids, okay?
Yeah, so I get that a little bit where I hear too, right? Where he's like, okay, you're manipulating me into, right? So that exactly, like, this is why. So I, again, see him being like, I don't want to just be like, hey, it's okay. It's fine. And I mean, like, he's got a bit of a point. Because he does kind of say, he's like, I sighed. And
I mean, granted, she did lie. So
I can feel, yeah, I feel a little bit on the other side that I was like, I can
but
see.
But isn't this for the better? Aren't you happy I'm not in jail?
Well, yes. But I was like, I can see how you're reading it that way. But again, I can also see how, yeah, he's emphasizing the point a little bit of not letting her get away. And he does kind of say, he's like, call a spade. You thought you could, like, flirt and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, okay, which. If you'd looked at my thoughts 3 sentences ago, yeah. But we're not going, you know. But yeah, right? Like, that's the thing.
Harry Dresden's like, I know that, but how did you know that?
Yeah, I was going to say, right? Like, I just don't think I read it quite as harshly as you took
it
kind of.
I get Harry Dresden immediately making boundaries and, yeah, maybe make her dance for it. But, like, I don't know. I still feel like he was a little bit more just, like, that whole silent treatment the whole time. And I'm like, okay, she's clearly in a situation. Why don't you just ask her? Why are you making this, like, dragging it out so much?
Like, and actually telling her that, like, you're just manipulating me. Like,
yeah, exactly. Outright, though,
like, did feel a little bit too far to me, too.
Did it?
Like, and I can see why, like, where he would sort of have that sort of...
It's like, you took advantage of our friendship. No, I didn't. Silence. I called my dad's friend because I'm in trouble. Like, we're not friends ourselves. Like,
I totally get the silent part just to sort of give the like, okay, you fucked up, so I'm going to let you feel awkward. But the...
Yeah, I'm not
going
gonna
into
bail
the manipulation
you
part and like the sort of more accusing stuff is a little bit like too far for me, I think.
And even coming off of the whole like, I didn't think about what else could possibly be Pierce, like all of that was in like 3 pages of each other. And I'm just like, what side are you falling on, Harry? Like, are you her friend? Are you
Harry's
like a disciplinary
like,
parent figure? Or
I'm
are
a
you...
complicated man. I am all. Yeah. I am a pervy guy and I am a disciplinarian father figure. All you can be both.
No, you can't. No, you cannot.
Who are you? I can't discipline you because I'm distracted by your nipples.
Yeah.
That's
him every time.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess I can see this a bit. And again, it's...
Burn her. She's a witch. So Molly knows how to play the game, too, because he has no one he can call besides you, Harry. He is a sad little baby orphan.
Yeah. But Harry, he's an orphan.
Yeah, we do find a few things about good old Nelson. Nelson is in for reckless endangerment and aggravated assault.
She didn't do it. Yeah, they never do.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like shaken woman syndrome at all.
He's your age? Almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the parents are not a fan, in particular Michael. Might not have anything to do with, you know, dating my daughter.
Oh, he's that kind of friend.
My daughter met a boy and then showed up with all these piercing and tattoos. I'm on Michael's side.
Right? Which is kind of funny, because when we meet Nelson, he's, like, a little bit nerdy.
He is,
He's not, like, goth, punk,
Molly's
rebel,
the bad influence.
Yeah, right?
Which, yeah, fair. We met her with all those handcuff keys when she was 14 and presumably didn't know Nelson yet.
Presumably, right? Yeah. We didn't know, but yeah. So, yeah, we get the rundown.
And I know there's a system in place, but it is, after all, a system.
Uh-huh. Sorry, Harry. I will give you a hug. Anyways. So this kind of is what is like, okay, well, he's an orphan. I have to go bail him out of jail. Yeah, okay.
And, of course, Molly thinks he's in supernatural danger.
Right.
So, that's why I called you Harry at all. Like, you're not just a friend, okay? You are my wizard
from,
friend.
Like, your side. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yep. There it is. This concludes our episode 17.6. Yep. There it is. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Emphasis rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.